Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, last minute salutations from Guru. I guess 4 hours isn't enough, Goo. Goo's got bonus takes. The guy does a 4-hour show, and he still has takes, Larry, that he didn't get a chance to get off his chest. It's Dan Dibley in with Larry Kruger today. Willard and Dibs. Mark is on a little bit of a 3-day taking care of mom's birthday down in L.A. Hopefully, Mark's trip went well. He was hoping to leave early this morning and get on up and over the grapevine before you hit that L.A. traffic.
Happy birthday to Mama Willard.
Yes, Ellen Willard. Her birthday actually isn't for another week or so, but they wanted to celebrate this weekend because next weekend is looking like a huge weekend for the Golden State Warriors, much like tonight, Larry, a huge game for Golden State. Game 81, and for me, biggest game of the year for the Warriors is tonight.
No doubt, and they get a Pelicans team. You said we're not getting Brandon Ingram, or we are?
I think he's out. I was looking at the ESPN report.
He is out.
That's huge.
Out until Feb 14, which would be their final game Sunday, and depending on their need in that game, he may not even play on Sunday.
Well, I love what I'm seeing from Golden State. And if you had told me a month and a half ago, let's say, that Golden State was going to circle the wagons, play great D, rebound, everybody was going to be feeling good, Kerr's going to have his rotation down, and they're just going to be rampaging, I never would have bought it. Never would have bought it. But that's why I got to give Kerr a little credit because, you know, I've heard so many interviews, Dibs, where the players are like, you know what? We believe in each other. We're primed. We know we have, you know, our three Hall of Famers, and we got a young core, and we got a deep bench, and we're playing D. So, I mean, they feel good. Warriors are feeling good, and if you're a Warrior fan, you got to be feeling good. I'm optimistic about tonight.
Yeah, I'm optimistic, but I'm also cautiously pessimistic, if that makes sense, based on what I saw last night from New Orleans, 135-123 over a depleted Sacramento, admittedly. But watching New Orleans, even without Brandon Ingram, who won't play tonight, they've got a way to beat you in three or four different ways. Zion Williamson, finally healthy in the association, and he's playing as well as he has going back to his days at Duke. And CJ McCollum is fitting great with that team. They've got Valanciunas, a big who can pose problems against any team. Certainly Golden State can have to match up with TJD. I'm a little worried about New Orleans and just how well they've been playing.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've got length and athleticism and youth, and, you know, that team's really, really, I mean, the closer you look at that team, you're like, wow, they got a lot of talent on that team. So, yeah, it'll be a challenge, but no Ingram, second half of a back-to-back on the road. You know, what did I hear Fitz say last night? The Warriors played the most back-to-backs of any team in the league.
That sounds about right. And I think they have a fantastic record. I want to say this will be their 17th back-to-back on the year. And are they 11-5, Grandy, in the second half of back-to-backs?
It's a good record. I will find the exact number.
Okay, because I had it before a few back-to-backs ago, and they were on the order of like 10-5 or 9-5. They had a great record in the second half of back-to-backs. But as far as tonight goes, and the difficulty of the back-to-backs, because both team has it, New Orleans's might be a little bit easier, having just gone from Sacramento to Golden State. I would imagine they drove, or would you take that 28-minute flight? I mean, you've got your plane there.
It's a Greyhound. It's a luxury Greyhound.
You've got your plane there. You know, you've got your New Orleans charter already there, so I guess you would fly. Or would you fly it empty and have the guys just take a bus ride, which is a little bit easier on the body?
Yeah, I think you drive. I don't think you fly. But either way,
because the plane's got to get here no matter what.
Golden State's got to bring, like last night, they're going up against a Blazers team that was 2-13 in their last 15, right? And still, that was anybody's ball game in the fourth, you know. So, and then Golden State spurted, and that was it. They can't rely on that tonight. They can't rely on, we're just going to throw our jocks out there, run around for three quarters and spurt at the end and pull away. If they don't bring a better energy off the tip, this game's could get away from them before the fourth quarter. The
17th news, set of back-to-backs, really quick. 17th set ends tonight. The Warriors are 13-4 in the first games of back-to-backs and 10-6 in the second.
Thank
games.
You, Grant.
That's pretty good. 10-6 is not
well,
bad.
I mean, yeah, 13-4 is also really good. That shows that they're probably going for it most of the time. Last night, notwithstanding, because last night you rested a couple of guys, Clay and Draymond. GP2, we don't know yet if he'll be able to give it a go tonight or not, but to be 10-6 on the second half of a back-to-back with an older team and a lot of these coming on the road, that to me is one of the more impressive stats for this team all year.
Yeah, the thing that I love about Golden State right now, it's the blend. It's the blend of the youth with Pajemski and Kuminga and TJD with, you know, Draymond's playing well, Clay's playing incredibly well. And it's amazing that we're kind of asking about Steph, because Steph is obviously the fulcrum of the whole franchise. But if he could somehow, he looks a little weary, you know, and it's like it would be nice. I know there's more playoff rest and that kind of thing, but how do you get him rested and still make a run? I'd feel a little bit better if he looked a little fresher, but maybe he's got a level he can get to.
Yeah, hopefully they can get to it soon, because two games left to go. You need them both if you're going to try to climb up to get into the 8 seed. You would need two wins and at least one Sacramento loss in order to secure the 8. You no longer can climb up to the 7. If you're the Golden State Warriors, you could be 8, 9, or 10. Obviously, if you can wind up tied with the Lakers, then you would get the 9. If you wind up tied with the Kings, then you fall behind Sacramento and you'd be the 9. You really want to win both and maybe have Sacramento get a hiccup against Phoenix, climb over the Kings, and wind up as the 8 seed. If you wind up as the 10, I don't think it's that much more of a difficult road. You still are going to have to go through Denver. You'd have to win 2 play-in games on the road, and then you'd have to face Denver in the first round. If you're the 8, you have a little bit of a cushion, and you could possibly avoid Denver if you won that first play-in game. You would be the 7 seed, and thereby avoiding Denver. It looks like Denver's going to be number 1 overall. They have 2 easy games to wrap up their year. They've got San Antonio and Memphis, and they've got a 1-game lead on OKC and Minnesota.
Yeah, the way Denver plays Golden State makes you feel like Golden State has no chance against Denver. So I don't know if they have a great chance against anybody else, but they really don't have a chance against Denver. Denver's entire team's in their prime. Jokic just does what he wants. It just seems like Denver has their number, and that's the bad matchup. If they can avoid Denver, I could see them pulling a first round upset. I really could. And it sounds crazy, but they've got a lot of experience on their side, and they've brought their young players along this year. I mean, whoever thought that TJD, 57th pick in the draft, three picks before the end of the draft, would be better than James Wiseman? And that's what he is. He's better than James Wiseman. He had four blocks last night. He knows how to play. He knows how to position. He can pick and roll. I mean, the guy, it's amazing to me what TJD is. And I'm still shocked that he fell all the way to 57. He played in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
His dad's Dale Davis. The guy can pass. He can block shots. He can rebound. He averaged 20 a game in the Big Ten. And he went 57th. I mean, it's mystical. To me, it's a total mysterious question why he fell that far.
Well, it was a bit of an inside job if you look deep inside the draft. Because
with his agent, you mean?
His agent being Mike Dunleavy's brother. And the agent let it be known that they were not going to accept a deal that was not fully guaranteed in that first year. So, you know, as other teams were looking at him as a second round possible pick, you don't want to guarantee fully a guy that late in the draft, that late in the second round, and the Warriors were willing to do so, and therefore he was able to slide all the way down to Golden State with Mike Dunleavy's brother being the representative and him obviously liking the player as well. And there you have it. Golden State's got a 24-year-old big, and that's another thing for me as to why you could look at him as better than James Wiseman. He's older than James Wiseman, and he's played more high-level basketball than James Wiseman. So for me, it's not that surprising that he's better than Wiseman. The shock for me is that Wiseman's not better than he was when he was 18.
Well, it shows you got to love ball. You know, I kind of question whether James Wiseman really loves ball. You know, yeah. I mean, I think he's dying to get home. You know, he's not working on his game. I mean, no, he's had a better year. But, I mean, TJD understands, you know, positioning. I thought he did a nice job. I know Ayton had some good numbers last night, but I thought he did a nice job on Ayton. He just makes the right basketball play. And how many big men rookies can you depend on at this time of the year in a playoff-type squad? I love what they've gotten out of him. And then Pajemski. I mean, Pajemski, you know, the old saying is, if you rebound, you stay on the floor, whether it be CYO, high school, college. That's what he does, man. He rebounds the basketball, and he stays on the floor.
And he makes smart plays, and he takes charges, and he does the little things that a lot of times rookies don't do. And I think it was you, Larry, who was tabbing Pods as the Warriors pick long before the draft.
Bill Duffy is a good buddy of mine. He's his agent, and he got him on the show. He was just telling me, man, this guy's real. But the thing about it is, the one thing that I've known for a long time is that rebounding, it's like sack production in college football. That's the thing that translates to the pros. What translates to the pros in basketball? It's rebounding. That's why they always say, well, the guy's got a knack as a rebounder. Well, this kid goes to the glass and rebounds in the trees every night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, it's been fun to watch him kind of adapt. And because, you know, we all watched him in the summer league. And how many passes did he get picked off? How many passes where somebody got a hand on it? And it was just like maybe the length of NBA players
and the speed
of the game was going to be too much. But then camp, you know, back to training camp, it was clearly he had made the adjustment. And he's been great all year.
You can't teach the moxie and the desire that he plays with as far as what you're saying, the rebounding, taking charges. Those are things that are mostly innate. It's hard to coax a guy into becoming a really voracious, active rebounder. And you're seeing it with Jonathan Kuminga, where year three, and he's just now starting to assert himself on the glass like you'd like. 888-957-9570 is the number. We want to hear from Warrior fans today. My question is, what's your emotion going into tonight? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Is there trepidation about New Orleans? Are you feeling like this Warrior team has got a good run in them to get to the 8 seed? For me, Larry, you've got to be the 8 in order to have a chance to, quote, go on a run. You need to be the 8. That way you can win the 7-8 game and avoid Denver. That, for me, is the job at all costs. I think whoever winds up as the 8 seed is in a heap of trouble because Denver's a team playing great right now. What's your feeling going into tonight? 888-957-9570. 95-70. I'll say I'm excited, Larry, for sure. Biggest game of the year, but my prevailing feeling is I'm nervous after watching New Orleans last night, going back and forth between those games.
I think Golden State has got a little bit of a swagger. I mean, considering the year they've had and how things have looked, I really didn't think we'd be sitting here second week in April with a Warrior team that has swagger.
Right.
But they have swagger. And amazing, 19th pick, 57th pick, and they found two rookies that can be in their rotation. I mean, that right there, I mean, if you're Mike Dunleavy, you got to feel pretty good about that.
Both could be all-rookie selections. There's 10 players who get all-rookie, first team and or second team, and that will be determined here down the road. 888-957-9570, line them up. We want to hear from you, Dub Nation, in advance of the big game tonight at home against New Orleans. We are sponsored by Prize Picks. Larry's in for Willard today. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Around, lobs it in, and it's stolen by Looney, cleaned up by Steph, a run out the other way, he'll keep it himself, bouncing it off, puts Pajemski, he's hacked in the act, and he scores! E uno para pods, 94-86, Warriors starting to edge away from the Blazers.
Dub Nation, this is Brandon Pajemski, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And Kevin Dan of the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Pods with a little and one there. He wound up with 9 points. And yeah, Kevin, your emotion exactly mirrored what I was feeling as the Dubs finally, Larry, started to pull away, beating Portland 100-92, setting up the biggest game of the year tonight. The New Orleans Pelicans in town, game 81. The dream of the 8 seed lives for another day. We're going to go to the phones in a minute, 888-957-9570. What are you feeling heading into tonight's game? Larry is in for Mark Willard today. It's Willard and Dibs.
Don't turn it over. I mean, I know that sounds overly simplistic, but I mean, they started last night. It was like 5 turnovers immediately.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it just, if Golden State, with their firepower, the way they're playing defense, the way the whole thing, the depth of the roster. I mean, Steve's going to have some real tough questions as far as his rotation goes going forward when everybody's healthy. Don't turn it over. As long as they can avoid mass turnovers, I like their chances.
16 last night and, you know, a couple of unseemly ones late in the game, but they were able to get some good quality possessions down the stretch. Steph Curry with a couple of triples and Kevon Looney. Nice dives to the hoop. He ended up with 9 points, 2 big buckets in that fourth quarter on screen rolls. And, you know, the Portland Trailblazers just chose not to guard him on those rolls. Instead, jumping out to double Steph, and Steph made the great pass to a cutting Kevon Looney. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame, youtube.com/957thegame. Watch us live. If anyone swears, you'll get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube. Make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like it. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And you can now download the free Odyssey app by scanning the QR code in the bottom right corner of our Twitch and YouTube streams with your smartphone. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. We want to take your calls today and gauge your excitement level. Big one tonight with New Orleans in town. Tim Roy going to join us coming up at 3:15 right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to Robin in San Francisco. What's going on, Robin? You're on with Larry and Dibs today.
Hey, Sugar. How you doing?
Good, Robin. How are you?
I'm all right. Let me tell you something, Dibs, about them e-bikes, though. They equally bad on the street, too, especially when you're going on Fail Street. I was handing myself out the street, but somebody hits you. And then you're holding up traffic, and they're on them little motorcycles, and they have two on it, which is illegal. I swear to God, them and the bikers, I'm sorry if you ride bikes, Dad, I can't stand y'all, okay? I'm trying to get to where I got to go, and y'all just holding up the game. Anyway, I want to say this, what inspired me to call was Larry. I'm with you, Larry, about, you know, Curtis. You know what we call them in my hood? Hood coaches. Like hood coaches from the peanut gallery, okay? That's what my daughter called when I was trying to diagnose my knee. She said, oh, my God, the hood diagnosis. Go to the damn doctor, Mom. So that's what we call them.
It's great. It's great to have an opinion, but when you start stating it like, you know, with total certainty that Kerr is like a, when he's the head coach of the Olympic team, the guy clearly knows his ball. And also, it's so much about bringing the personalities along. And here we are. And everybody, I mean, they've got a good vibe about them right now. Beyond the way they're playing, they got a great vibe. And that's a lot. I credit Steve with that.
Yeah, see, but the problem is you don't have people that think beyond other than what's in front of them. So I just want to say this because I know I got more time than most. Okay, you're absolutely right about the team, but here's the deal: you actually need talent. Right, talent. Like we don't have money. It all, the root of everything starts with money. So you, and they're talking about rotations. He's been trying to figure out rotations all year simply because you don't have the level of talent that you had before. So you know you got to give, you know, something to the coach, and everybody's looking for the next superstar. So there's no superstar coming. Okay, and the superstar we had, you ran him off, and they ran him off too. So, I mean, they don't look at things in totality, and that's what pisses me off. In terms of how I feel tonight, it is what it is. If they lose, they lose. Am I nervous? I'm all of the above, but it's how they play. Last thing I want to say, they keep blaming Kerr for the vets, but you know what? I don't want to play the youngsters, but and he likes vets, but you got to realize something. The vets had something to do with the youngsters not playing until they realized they needed them. Peace out, guys.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate the phone call. As always, have a great weekend. And, you know, I think that Steve kind of both benefited and didn't benefit from the injuries this year because he was kind of forced to play the young guys more than he otherwise might have if it wasn't for the Draymond suspension and the Wiggins brief absence, which led to Jonathan Kuminga getting more run. Pods popped early while Clay was kind of struggling. So the veterans, in their own way, gave life to Steve Kerr and gave license, rather, for him to be able to play them more because they weren't holding it down.
I never fell into that, you know, October, November trap of, you know, what are we going to do with, you know, this guy and that guy, because you have an older team.
Right.
And we didn't know Draymond was going to miss 25 games, but you had an older team and you knew that there was going to be plenty of minutes for the young guys. The question I would have for you, is it as simple as Moody and Looney, as far as when Clay and Draymond come back, those guys' minutes are just gone? They're just out of the rotation completely?
I think so. And we talked to Steve Kerr about that earlier in the week. And, you know, he, of course, is always applauding Moses Moody for being ready and staying ready. And, you know, Kevon's minutes are the ones that are probably going to go away. I look at that Laker game and the 9-man rotation that he went with, which was Pods and GP2 off the bench along with CP3 and Kuminga. And I think that's going to probably be his base 9. He did mention, though, if you know the matchup is right, then Moody could get some additional minutes, or Kevon Looney could come in, depending on, you know, the size of the opponent and what they might bring. We don't know about Gary Payton the second tonight and his availability. If he's unable to go, I think Moses Moody would get his minutes like he kind of did last night, getting those 21. But feels to me like the Laker game is when Steve really started to figure out what he wanted to do when everyone's available.
The only thing I would, you know, if Steve were sitting here and we were actually, and we weren't necessarily on the radio, we're just sitting here, we're just chopping it up, I would say to Steve, man, it's too bad that you couldn't get Moses going for any consistent amount of time. If there's one thing that I haven't, it kind of doesn't sit well with me, is it just seems like the Warriors can't really rely on Andrew Wiggins, and then every time he comes back in front of Moses Moody. And it always costs Moody minutes and time on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really think that, you know, Moses Moody is good enough to have a regular rotation spot. There's only so many guys you can have in your rotation. I know it's difficult because you're paying Wiggins a mint.
Right.
And he has some great nights, but
it's the Brokeback Mountain thing.
It's like Wiggins is inconsistent. And Moody doesn't get enough time to ever build any consistency.
I wish I knew how to quit you, is what Steve is essentially saying to Andrew Wiggins and the team, is because when Andrew plays well, he's way better than Moses Moody probably will ever be. Moses Moody's much more consistent, but Andrew's upside is far higher. But your point is well taken. Andrew so often, or up until the last couple of weeks, he's been much more consistent, but all year it's been on again, off again, which is maddening, but
I would have liked to have seen the Warriors move Wiggins for a future one at the deadline.
I don't know if you would have gotten a future one for him.
Really? You don't think so?
I think that the league is down on Andrew
Wiggins.
Even
a late one?
Well, and
I mean, he's got a big contract. That works against it. But I mean, if you could have found that team that would have given you a first, man, I would have loved to have gone with Moody and seen what it looked like.
I think they shopped him, and I would imagine they shopped him pretty heavy, but they didn't like what they were hearing back. It will be interesting in the offseason what they do, how they wind up maybe affects what they'll think about in terms of Andrew Wiggins and others. But Mark and I made a radio vow, that we weren't going to talk about the offseason. We're going to stay in the moment.
You know, I've been driving around the Bay the last couple of days, and I've heard you reference that many times.
Yeah.
You've broken that vow.
We have. It's hard.
Yeah.
And like just right there, when you talk about Andrew Wiggins, it's hard not to skip ahead to what comes next. But I'm really trying to drill down on tonight, Larry. Game 81, game of the year, and the excitement level that I'm feeling. Let's go to Terrence in Berkeley, who wants to weigh in on tonight. And vibes. What's going on, Terrence? You're on with Willard and Dibs. Larry in for Mark.
Hey, nice to talk to you guys, man. My situation is the vibe at the Chase Center. It's kind of taken a different vibe from last year to this year, and the enthusiasm level. I don't know if it's the PA announcer, our cheerleading guy, or just the fans in general. I was over at Golden One last night for the Kings and the Pelicans game, and they got a vibe. They got a vibe there. I mean, I don't want to get cowbells, but just something to kind of spark. We're nothing in the arena where we were out in Oakland. That's a different, whole different stadium. But the Warriors get more enthusiasm on the road versus seems like a Chase Center sometimes.
Are you going at my man Franco Finn?
Not so hard, but I think he can do a better
I'm just
job.
Joking.
I mean, it's like at Golden One, they have like a chant. Keegan, then the fan says Murray, or just we need something to kind of get us going there as, you know, the sixth person on the court.
Yeah. Thank you, Terrence. I think it's a little bit of an uphill battle, and comparisons to Oakland are unfair because it is a little bit of a different demographic, not only Peninsula versus East Bay, but the amount of money that is needed to get into Chase Center is more than what was needed in Oakland. And I don't mean to go all W.E.B. Du Bois on you and talk about demographics and historical ramifications.
People that are well-heeled can't cheer.
Not can't, but won't. Rich people don't cheer as loudly as people without means. And this is something that is just a theory of mine. I've not compared decibel ratings to, you know, tax brackets, but it feels to me like more well-heeled people are less inclined to wear the free shirt and also less inclined to get on their feet and chant "Let's go Warriors" 20 minutes before tip.
Are you saying poor people cheer louder than rich people?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's because it matters to them more.
I don't know about that, but I think Sacramento, just from going to school up there for college and just that vibe, it has kind of a little bit of a college vibe. It's got a college town vibe.
Plus, they have that hunger, Larry, because they've never done it.
Yeah.
They have zero NBA Finals appearances, let alone rings.
Yeah.
They got a cute little purple beam and, you know, some chants, which is great. I'm happy for them.
Yeah. They get a nice arena. I haven't been there.
Yeah, it looks nice.
It's a nice arena.
It's no Arco, but.
I like, and they got a nice little whatever outside mall area, dining area. It's cool. It's they've kind of renovated the whole K Street downtown thing. But yeah, I just think I think it's always been like that. I think Sacramento Warrior fans has always been a little. I mean, oh, it rocked at Oracle.
I mean,
it rocked. But I think there's a college kind of like, I don't want to say it's hokey, but there's a college vibe to the Kings and
right.
Sacramento, and I'll be eager to see if that carries over to the A's when they go do their three-year run up there. I bet it will. Be loud, it'd be raucous, and
I'm gonna just pretend you didn't mention that team on this show. I wish you wouldn't. it makes my stomach turn a little bit, to be honest.
We got to go up there in a year and have a few beers and watch some ball
at Old Rayleigh Field.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it's Sutter Health. Thank you, Grandy.
But you know what? Nighttime weather in Sac, it's nice in the summertime. It's beautiful.
Let's go to L in Pacifica. We're getting hyped not about the A's in Sacramento, but about the Warriors hosting New Orleans tonight. L, how you feeling about the Warriors heading into these last couple of games in the regular year?
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I just want to say we've won so many championships at this point that we're not going to be cheering for a win. You know what I mean? We're going to be cheering for a winning season and a chance to be a champion. So it's the reason we don't chase that Chase Arena is almost like, you know, going to a symphony the first time, and you're like, and this happened to me. Oh my God, like, he's so good. Let's clap it up. And nobody around you is clapping because they've been there so many times. And then you have, you know, a couple glasses of champagne. You go to a couple more shows and you're like, oh, yeah, he's really good. But don't clap. Keep it up. So that's really where we're at right now. We won so many championships that to get the team and to get the fans up cheering and excited about it, it's got to be championship. And as far as how I feel about the Warriors right now, guys, I think we might just be the most dangerous team in the play-in and the playoffs. We're the only team that can probably say we're 50-50. They can go all the way or just, you know, lose in the first round because of how hot this team can get. No other team can say that. There's teams that, you know, are really good, but they have some matchup problems. So I think for the Warriors, they play their best when they don't have a lot to prove. Even the years that they won championships, when they're up, when they're ahead, when they're having fun, that's when they're the most dangerous. And because they have nothing to lose, they're already going to win the game. So I would watch out for the Warriors, guys. If Steph, Clay, and Draymond catch fire during these playoffs, which they're looking like they might do it, I'd be careful playing the Warriors, and I should be very, very excited. Win or bust, they did everything they could, given the circumstances.
Thanks, Al. We're losing you a little bit there. I appreciate it. And, yeah, dangerous. 50-50 go all the way or get knocked out in the play-in. I'm not sure if I'm willing to buy into that.
No, it's not 50-50. Yeah. I mean, that's pie in the sky. But I hear what he's saying. Yeah, I mean, the guy that I fear tonight, and you've already brought up McCollum, to me it's Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy is 6'9". He's nearly a 40% three-point shooter. He had 27 last night against Sacramento. Trey Murphy is a guy that you really have to extend on because he's a 6'9 three-point sniper. I mean, if you're 6'9, you got to get out there on a guy. Remember Matt Bullard with the Rockets way, way back?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a 6'10 three-point shooter. If you're 6'9 and you can hit threes, man, you've got to close way out on that guy. And to me, that's the guy that worries me tonight. If they can keep Trey Murphy closer to 17 instead of 27, I love Golden State's chances tonight. But if Trey Murphy, you know, goes for 30 and he's hitting all these open threes, to me, that's going to make it a tough battle tonight.
Yeah, 27, you mentioned it last night, 6 of 12 from three. McCollum, 9 of 12 from distance as New Orleans shot 55% from behind the line, 22 of 40. And that game was not much in doubt from start to finish. New Orleans jumped on the Kings, and they handled it out there at Golden 1 and putting the Kings, Lakers, and Warriors into a three-way tie for the 8, 9, and 10 seeds. Kings hold the tiebreaker over both. Warriors hold the tiebreaker over the Lakers. So Sacramento would need to lose one. If the Warriors win two, they can still capture the 8 seed. 888-957-9570. We're getting excited for tonight's game. Larry is in for Mark Willard. We're taking your calls all the way up until Warriors Live. We're going to take a brief break at 3:15. Tim Roy going to join us.
Nice.
As Tim gets back behind the microphone tonight at home. He's been totally dialed in on all these Warrior games, the Laker game, and certainly last night's Portland game. So we'll get Tim's thoughts and we'll gauge his excitement level as we head toward tip time tonight at Chase Center. John's in the Yoon, and John's feeling good right now. What's going on, John? You're on with Willard and Dibs. Larry in for Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Thank you. Listen, I'm not really worried about the game tonight. You know, I've enjoyed the season. I really, really enjoyed watching the young guys play. So, you know, win or lose, you know, I'll take either or. I mean, I'd rather have them win, but I think it's been a really, really memorable season, to say the least. Everything that's happened to them, and for them to be where they're at now, you know, you got to tip your hat out to Coach Kerr and all the fellas. And one more thing, too. They were talking about Jonathan Kuminga, about, you know, his minutes will probably go down during the playoffs because of how he played last night. If he played badly and he scored 19 points with 8 rebounds, you know what? I'll take that every day. So I'm sure he's going to start playing better. So, you know, they got to lay off Jonathan. I think the young man's going to be a terrific ball player, which I think he already is, and he's only going to get better. And I think the future for the Warriors, to see all these young fellas, I think we're headed to the right direction. And let's go, Dubs. Let's take care of business. Thank you, fellas.
Right on, John. Appreciate the call. And I don't think we're going too hard on Jonathan Kuminga. Yes, 19-6 last night. The 4 turnovers for me is an area where he will continue to get better. I just thought that there were times, especially late in that game, fourth quarter, he was playing a little bit out of control for my tastes.
I just love the way he's playing. To me, that was isolated. You look at him the last, you know, 15 games, he understands the spacing. He understands the shot clock. He understands, you know, when to take it to the hole, when to find somebody. He's making the right basketball play. Even last night, look at the efficiency. You know, he took 2 threes, he made 1, he went to the free throw line 4 times, he made all 4. He's not taking a lot of bad shots, he's not piling up tons and tons of turnovers, though last night he did have 4. But I love what I'm seeing from Kuminga, because how many guys can go to the hole with the kind of speed and ferocity that he can and still find, you know, somebody for a higher percentage shot? In the past, he would have taken it all the way to the hole, tried to flush it on somebody, draw an offensive foul, just try to do too much. Now it's like his vision of the floor on his drives is so much better than it used to be. And he'll find guys in the perimeter. He'll find guys for lobs. He'll find guys, you know, cutting to the hoop. I love the way Kuminga's playing. I would just try to encourage him. And if he has a rough moment in a pressure-filled situation, Kerr just needs to maybe take him out, but just, you know, put him right back in,
right,
and show that confidence. Because last year in the playoffs, he didn't play great. They yanked him, and all of a sudden it was like he was totally lost his confidence.
Absolutely. And while he deserved to get yanked because he was playing tentatively and he was a net minus for the team. And I think he spent time this summer working on not only his game, but his mentals. And he's come back and made that classic third-year leap. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. We want to hear from you, Dub Nation. How excited are you? Are you nervous? What are your feelings going into tonight's huge game at home against New Orleans? We are presented by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Your calls and Tim Roy coming up at 3:15. Larry's in for Willard. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.